And so here's the little reflection on our scriptures today. I hope that you came on time to hear Genesis 3, because it was about the tree, you know, the tree of good, tree of evil, eating the tree from that was not to be eaten. And then, of course, they saw that they were naked and they covered themselves. And here we are today. Okay. So I've been saving this. Well, it's the truth. I mean, you know, we're all the same. So I've been saving this little story. I found it some months ago, and I've been dying to share it with you. So it fits that first Genesis. Here it is. A new pastor comes to a community, and his decision is he's going to visit every single house in the parish in a year. So he goes house to house and house to house, but he realizes after a while, nobody's home. Everybody's out working. Everybody's out on the road. No one's around. And so he's frustrated by that. But he said, I'm going to continue to knock. I'm going to continue to pursue it. And he is reminded of that gospel story about the persistent widow who finally won her case before this judge because of her persistence. And so he said, I'll just knock longer, I'll knock harder, and I'll keep going back until I meet every single person in the parish in this year. So the next house he went to, he thought for sure it was obvious that someone was at home. But there was no answer when he knocked. So he knocked again, and he knocked again and again, and no one responded. And so this pastor, just to give a little nudge, he took his card, and instead of just placing it in the door, he wrote on the card a quotation. He said, Revelation 3:20. Hopefully, this person would get the card, be embarrassed by the fact that they didn't answer his knock, and maybe return a call. And so, when the homeowner supposedly would read this card and read what the quote was, Revelation 3, it said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So that, they hoped, the priest hoped, would nudge this person who was inside. Well, on the following Sunday, after the Mass, he was in his office and he was counting the collection. And in the basket, he saw the card that he had placed in the door of that person's house the week before. He knew it was his card because it had Revelation 3 on it. But on the bottom of the card, it simply added Genesis 3:10. So he thought for a moment. The pastor reached for his Bible, turned to chapter 3, verse 10, and it read, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked." How about that? I've been dying to tell that story to you. So you never know. This gospel tonight, I've been thinking a lot about, and I hope I can deliver this thought. It's a simple thought, and it's my only thought tonight. The gospel says that our Lord goes to the Jordan. This is the very beginning of his public ministry. He goes to the Jordan, and he's baptized. But John does not want to baptize him because he has some intuition that this person is way beyond his reach, way beyond his pay scale. And so he says, no, I should be baptized by you. Jesus insists. And so he baptizes our Lord. And when he comes out of the water, he hears the words, "You are my beloved, upon whom my favor rests." So what does our Lord do? He goes and he spends 40 days in the desert, fasting, praying, and Matthew says, pondering these words, what does it mean that I am the beloved son? What does it mean that I am the highly favored one? What does that mean? Am I different? Am I special? What's the responsibility? What will it mean to me for the rest of my life? And so our Lord spends these 40 days wondering, praying, reflecting. At the end of the 40 days, Matthew says, he comes out of the desert and his first encounter is with the tempter, with the devil. And interestingly enough, if you heard what Frank said tonight, the first words are this. The tempter says, if you are the Son of God, if you are. So he must have heard those words. He certainly must have known what this man was pondering, what Jesus was pondering. So he says, if you are this Son of God, then follow me and I will give you everything you've ever needed. Every food you've ever desired, every drink you've ever wanted, everything that will satisfy you. Because if you're a son of God, obviously God would satiate, satisfy everything. Just follow me. And our Lord looks at the tempter, at the devil, and says, hold on there, Buster. Yes, I am the Son of God, but I still will experience pain. I will still experience hunger. And not every desire that I want will be satiated or fulfilled. Even with that, I am still the Son of God. And so, not giving up, the tempter takes him to the parapet, which is the very pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, then fall to the ground, fall from this great height. And obviously, the angels will be sent to lift you up because you are the highly favored. You are God's chosen one. And Jesus turns to him and says, you've got it wrong again, tempter. I will be harmed. I will suffer. I will be crucified. I will fall. But I am still God's chosen one. I am still the Son of God. Not giving up, the tempter takes him to the top of the mountain. And he looks out and he sees the entire world. All of its beautiful power and authority and beauty. And the tempter said, if you are the Son of God, just follow me. Just bow before me, and you will be governor of the state of California. You'll have all power. You'll be anything you want to be. And our Lord says, no. I will be a humble servant. I will be broken and weak before man and woman. But I am still God's chosen one, the beloved. And so, my sisters and brothers, I believe what that has to say to you and me tonight is this. Do not let anyone tell you who you are. I think the great sin of our life is when we sing and dance to the tune of someone saying to us, we're this or we're that or we're something else. No. We are who we are. We are beloved of our God. And don't let anyone tell us anything else. Be who you are. Be content with who you are. Live in the glory and the grace and the gift and the blessing of who you are. And do not either allow yourself or be tempted to become something you are not. That's sin. Sin is when we disallow and disbelieve and become who we are not. So I hope this Lent, this beautiful time, will be a time when you and I will hear clearly, you, my brother and my sister, you are the beloved, highly favored, and blessed by the living God.